universities, businesses, and other institutions have come to realize the importance of diversity and inclusivity in the past few years. That's certainly true in Eau Claire, where a new program is meant to facilitate positive social change, especially in conversations around race. The program is called Circles of Change, and it's a partnership between UW-Eau Claire, Eau Claire Area School District, and Chippewa Valley Technical College. I'm Abby Ibriganya, and I'm serving as guest host on this episode of The West Side on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. My guests today are Dr. Audrey Robinson, Project Manager for Circles of Change, who also works for UW-Eau Claire. Dr. Robinson, welcome.
Thank you for having me today.
I also have Becky Linderholm, Circles of Change participant and an elementary school teacher here in Eau Claire. Great to have you on the show, Becky.
Thank you.
And finally, Justin Wheatley, who also participated in the program this spring, and he's a UW Eau Claire student. Justin, thank you for being here.
Glad to be here.
All right, callers, what kind of questions do you have about this program? Have you participated in something like this before for work or school? Would you like to? Or something else I've missed entirely? Go to the West Side Facebook page and leave us a comment, or better yet, give us a call at 1-800-228-5615. That's 1-800-228-5615. All right, to jump right in, Dr. Robinson, can you tell me where this project came from?
Yes. A couple of years ago, the university started an initiative, or we had a task force that was formed for EDI, which is Equity, Diversity, and Inclusivity. And I was on that team. As a result of being on that team, before we passed our EDI plan, we came up with different varying initiatives that we wanted to be able to do and accomplish. One of those ended up being to have a closer tie with our community. And I decided that I would stay with that part of the task force. And it's an implementation team, so we moved forward and we started talking about Circles of Change. I worked with one of the former city managers, and that is Mike Huggins, and he was a part of that team as well. And so we decided, let's start with Circles of Change, and it has evolved to where it is today.
Excellent, excellent. We've had Mike Huggins on the show earlier this summer to talk about the Poverty Summit here in Eau Claire. He's a very, very involved man. But can you tell me a little more about the project's goals?
The goals of the project are many. Actually, one is to at least start to have the conversation. Eau Claire has been traditionally a majority white environment. The university has some initiatives to increase our number of students of color by 20% over a period of time. And therefore, with that type of thing happening and what has been happening over the last several years within our country, I think it's important for everyone to be at the table to start having a dialogue about diversity, our differences, and what can we make as a positive thing and a positive change, understanding that the community may be a little bit taken aback sometimes when they start to see a lot of people that don't look like them, but then those who are coming in who are people of color also in a larger environment with people that don't look like them. So we need to sit at the table and have that conversation that people don't have.
Definitely. Can you tell me about where the material that is used in the course came from?
Yes. About 20 so years ago in Eau Claire, Mike Huggins was involved in a everyday democracy type of circles of change sort of initiative. So we adopted a workbook from Everyday Democracy. They give it with their permission. We adapted it to form it for the Eau Claire and the greater Chippewa Valley. So we made changes to it and made it more applicable, and that's where it came from.
And then you piloted this spring. And can you tell me a little bit about how many folks went through that pilot you know, where those folks came from within the community?
Yes, we had a great successful spring semester, and I'm really glad about that pilot. We had two separate groups. One group was a lot of our civic leaders. We had the mayor of Altoona, city manager for Altoona, Carrie Kincaid, Rudy, who was the previous president for RCU. And so we had a lot of, and in that particular group, we had probably 14 individuals. And then we had a second group, of which Becky and Justin were a part of, and I think we had 9 or 11 in that particular group. And so it was very successful. It gave everyone in the room an opportunity to talk and experience and give us feedback as to how it went, what changes we need to make, and that type of thing. Recently, I ran into one of the participants from the civic group, and he indicated that he learned something from that particular group, not only about himself personally, but professionally as well. And this was a person who also participated in Clear Vision, and he indicated that he wished he had gone through Circles of Change prior to Clear Vision because it gave him more of an opportunity to understand poverty.
I see. So it sounds like there was kind of a good mix of identities in both of those groups, you know, race, class, gender, work, environment. Would you say that was the case?
I would say that was the case. And the other part of that was most important is that we came out with some action plans. So the key to this is not only to have the conversation and the dialogue, which I think is vitally important, but to also come out with action plans and to do something, not just talk. So as a result of the spring pilots, we have two action teams going forward right now. One of those are for humans of the Chippewa Valley, telling the story one at a time. And that group is working on interviewing. They've been interviewing people this summer. And different diverse populations throughout the Chippewa Valley. We're going to put that on a Facebook page. And we hope to eventually make a book. This was modeled after Humans of New York. So if you know anything about Humans of New York, it was modeled after that. The second group is working on library book kits to talk about diversity. So it's family conversation kits. We're working with our local library, and there's a team of us working together. Becky and myself are also on that team. And we are working to provide and put together books that are age appropriate that will talk, that gives a story and literature about diversity, as well as guides for parents to have conversations about diversity with their children.
Excellent. I thought the action plan was really interesting because in other similar type programs that I've seen in my experience, often that last step of action is missing. So you go through, you learn all this material, and then you kind of have this feeling of like, well, what do I do with everything I just learned? That action step, I think, is really vital. Becky, you're an elementary school teacher here in Eau Claire. How did you find out about the program, and what prompted you to join?
I actually found out because one of the social workers that I work with was involved in the other group. And so I actually got Audrey's contact information and said, can I join? This sounds like something that's right up my alley, something I'm really passionate about. So that's kind of how I joined into one of the pilot groups.
And Justin, what about you? You're at UW-Eau Claire. Did you see a poster on campus, or how did you find out?
I was actually asked by one of my first semester professors if I would like to be a part of the pilot group for Circles of Change. And I was like, of course, absolutely yes.
Excellent. And so you all met on Saturdays, if I'm correct, in the morning for for 2 hours a few times. I think six times, yes. And so what was that kind of first meeting like when you, I bet, a little nervous, or how did you feel going in?
Well, lots of new faces, for sure. But it was actually, it didn't take long before we were all pretty comfortable with each other. I think the first session with making connections was a little bit like, you know, you get partnered up with strangers, obviously, and so you're kind of like telling your life story a little bit, and that can be a little bit intimidating. But I think even by the end of that session, I felt like we had already kind of established connections and felt like we were definitely. Kind of a close-knit group, I feel like. So.
So both of you, I'm sure, are busy folks. College is, there's always something going on. And as a teacher, you're working even during the summer. So to volunteer your time to participate in this group, you know, what was your motivation?
I felt it was something that was extremely important. I look around my campus and I do see a lot of faces like mine. And I'm thinking, my best friend, she is a person of color, and she says all the time, she's like, I do wish I saw more faces like mine. And I agreed with that. And I thought to myself, I'm like, this is something that I can do to start taking these steps in my new community. And I just absolutely, I'm like, I need to do this. I called my job and I'm like, I need Saturday mornings off so I can do this.
Becky, what about you?
Yeah, well, really, since I was in college, I went to UW-Eau Claire also, but diversity was always very important to me and something that I was pretty involved in college. The Eau Claire School District has started to do more, but also I'm not just a regular elementary teacher. I'm an EL teacher, so I work with students who speak another language at home. So many of my students already are people of color or speak a different language, have an accent, and I see that they go through life in school or in the community or their families do, and it's different for them than it is for me. And so I want to do everything I can to make our community as equitable and welcoming for them as possible. So
I hope it's all right if I say that Justin and Becky are both white people, and I myself am a white person, since you can't see us here. But, you know, I wanted to touch on that a little bit more, Becky, because teachers can be really vital in how a student thinks of themselves, especially in elementary school. Mm-hmm. I know I've seen some studies here and there that reflect that, but so did that also motivated you to join the program?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we're kind of on the front line for many of our students and their families, helping them feel, you know, good about who they are. And I think also the school district as a whole has done some work in the last year. Well, even before that, but really like heavy work in the last year and moving forward on becoming more culturally responsive. And I think it's important that we as teachers learn how to have these conversations because they're important for our students. And often as white middle class people, we get afraid. We are kind of afraid to have conversations about race. And so it's important to get comfortable on our own so that we can not be afraid to broach that topic with students because they need us to.
Definitely. Definitely. All right. We're talking about a new initiative called Circles of Change in the Eau Claire community today on the West Side. My guests are Dr. Audrey Robinson, project manager for Circles of Change, who also works for UW-Eau Claire, Becky Linderholm, who participated in the program this spring. She's also an elementary school teacher. And Justin Wheatley is participated as well, and he's a UW-Eau Claire student. When we come back, we'll dive a little bit more into what happens at Circles of Change meetings. And callers, give us a call. Tell us what questions you have for our guests. What is your experience with initiatives like this? Give us a call at 1-800-228-5615. You can also leave a comment on the West Side Facebook page, and we'll ask our guests. That's 1-800-228-5615. You can also take a look at what else the West Side has covered this summer. We've talked about aquaculture, the state budget, food insecurity. You can take a look at all of that on our archive at Wisconsin Public Radio's website. That's WPR.org. You're listening to the West Side on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll be back.
Support for WPR comes from Wasco Windows, a Wisconsin-based manufacturer of high-performance doors and windows using Rahal Ganio profiles from Germany for passive and low-energy houses. Online at wascowindows.com. Support also comes from UW-Eau Claire Continuing Education, offering a master's in professional development through education studies. One Saturday a month, the rest is online. Details at 715-836-4021.
You're listening to The West Side on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Abby Ivriganya, serving as guest host on this episode, but don't worry, Rich Kramer's back next week. Conversations centered around race can be daunting, but one group in Eau Claire is working to change that. Today on the West Side, we're talking about Circles of Change, an initiative that's meant to facilitate positive social change, especially around race. It's a partnership between UW-Eau Claire, Eau Claire Area School District, and Chippewa Valley Technical College. I'm Abby Avery Gagne, filling in for Rich Kramer. My guests are Dr. Audrey Robinson, project manager for Circles of Change, and she works for UW-Eau Claire as well. Becky Linderholm participated in the program this spring, and she's an elementary school teacher here in Eau Claire. Justin Wheatley also was part of the program in the spring, and he's a student at UW-Eau Claire. So Justin, can you tell me a little bit about, you know, some of the exercises that were in the meetings that helped you understand your identities?
Yeah, I think the one that really sticks with me to this day is we did a little exercise where we would all bring a family heirloom or something that related to our families and where we came from. It was an excellent thing to see where everybody did come from, depending on what heirloom they brought. Myself, I brought my flute because my family is very involved with music, whether it's my father who still plays guitar or his father who actually played the upright bass in a little band. So that helped me understand who I was, and I got to see my other participants bring things such as this large wooden, Becky, what would you say it was?
It was like a carving of the Last Supper, was it?
Yes. And this participant, she's from the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she's from the Philippines. Perfect. And that was one of the things that would be brought out during their, was it their thanks?
Well, what it was just, it? She said there, in many houses, in Filipina houses, they would have these wood carvings.
Mm-hmm. So that was something that I got to see somebody in my own community bring someone like that and just such a deep understanding of who we were and who we were in that room.
Excellent. I wonder, did you have a little homework, maybe some reading and whatnot before each meeting?
Yes, we went through a workbook, and at the end of each session, it would say, for next time, think of this. And then we'd all have to go home. We might do a little research about the topic, if it was inequities in our community or nationwide. So we would have to research that, and then we'd bring in what we found, and then we would discuss it at the next meeting.
It was pretty minimal, though. So, like, if people are like, oh, no, I can't commit to homework, really. It was one of the homework assignments was to bring something that represented your culture, like mm-hmm. he was talking about. And I thought that was really valuable, too, because as white people, you know, like, our quote-unquote culture is kind of the default, so we forget that we have a culture. And so I think mm-hmm. it's good to, like, kind of force us to think about that. So,
yeah.
Becky, I wonder what you brought. If you feel comfortable sharing.
Oh, yeah. I actually didn't bring an item. I brought a video. I found a YouTube video of How to Talk Minnesotan that was like an old So it was about the Minnesota Long Goodbye. And so I grew up in Minnesota, but not really, but also Western Wisconsin has a very similar culture about, like, let me offer you a drink three times before you say yes, finally, that kind of thing. So, like, that's kind of the culture I was raised in also. So,
Awesome. Well, we've got a caller on the line. Lynn in Eau Claire, thanks for your call. What's on your mind?
Good morning. My daughter is a special ed teacher in a local community, a nearby community, and she has noted, it has been noted, that poverty is a huge trauma, and there is a disproportionate amount of poverty amongst non-white populations. The kids come to school hungry. They come ill-prepared. There's some students living, you know, in motels. Long story short, there was a little girl who daily would report to my daughter that she was getting whiter. Look, I'm getting whiter. You see this? I'm getting whiter. That's horrific. We provide books. For me, it seems like entertainment is really, really cheap. But the entertainment that can be afforded by people with not a lot of dollars in their pocket isn't. We need better role models and more ways to present them. I can buy as many books as I want for my daughter's classroom. I can feed those kids, but they don't see, this little girl doesn't see anybody worth being and she sees no worth in herself. And that's horrific to me.
Lynn, thanks for your call. You brought up a lot of really interesting points. I think, Dr. Robinson, do you want to address that with the action plan?
Yeah, can I?
Oh, Becky, actually, go ahead.
Yeah, because I'm actually on both action teams. So that is kind of why we came up with those action steps. One being Humans of the Chippewa Valley, because we're starting by highlighting people of color or people of kind of marginalized groups in the Chippewa Valley. So that for two reasons. One, because people that look like me don't often get a chance to get to know somebody who is of a different race or who is Muslim or whatever. So if we get to kind of get to know our neighbors, it can help break down some of the stereotypes and biases. But also for people like my students to see, you know, here's a successful doctor that looks like you. You can do it too. And to start to see that there is possibility for them in the future beyond, you know, I'm going to graduate high school and I'm going to just work in a restaurant or work in a whatever, and that's not a bad job if that's what you want to do. But I want my students to see that there are possibilities for them that are endless, and they need to be able to see that. And same with the library project. Also, we are finding right now we have two different types of kits about Asians and kits about Latinos, and that's what we're starting, but we're going to move on from there. And so that will help hopefully students like mine see themselves in literature and but also for families like me having conversations with my kids about diversity and how they have a different skin color. Oh, look, they're eating tamales. Maybe we should go try that and things like that and learn a little bit about other people.
Excellent. Dr. Robinson, what are your thoughts?
Part of my thoughts were also to address reasons why we have the poverty. It's not because it's always a person's choice or that they can't find a job or anything of that nature. It really is a perpetual cycle that we have in our systems, our institutional systems and our social systems that perpetuate that to happen. When you are paying people of color much less than you're paying white for doing the same job, that promotes poverty. When you have red lines and you redline districts within a community for housing, that makes for poverty. When you are looking at systems that do not, there's history shows that for some banks, they will not lend to people of color. So all of those things also feed into our economic systems as well as our school systems. If you're in areas where there's greater tax dollars and things like that, you have better systems for your schools and better materials. When you force all low-income people and people of color into one particular area and you pay them less than you do others and other type of systematic type of things that are in there, then they come out with tax dollars that are less and their school systems are less because that's how we appropriate our tax dollars. So learning a little bit about our systematic and institutional racism and how we perpetuate a system helps us to come out with action plans that allow us to start working on eliminating some of those systems and making it better.
Lynn, thanks for your call. You really sparked some great conversation here. If you have thoughts on the Circles of Change program, just any question or comment, we'd love to hear it. The number you can call is 1-800-228-5615. That's 1-800-228-5615. Justin, I want to ask, it's been a few months since Circles of Change has stopped meeting, the group you were involved with. So what stands out to you now that you've gone through the program and have a little bit of distance from it?
Distance from it. Well, I'm actually working for Dr. Robinson as of now with continuing our initiative and trying to get more people involved. But thinking on just the groups themselves, I catch myself every single day thinking about what was discussed in those pilot groups and how I can apply those to my life and how even I need to check myself, check my privilege, and think, what am I saying and what am I putting out there and how can I change those to make those more inclusive and promote equality? And I think about those conversations that I had during those 6 weeks every day and I tell myself again and again, what am I doing? How can I help others realize what they're doing and how can I make it all better?
Yes, I wanted to ask about the name, Circles of Change. Is that kind of a reference to recognizing your own power in a situation and trying to use your privilege, which I also think we should define, to influence others and help others understand, maybe if they haven't had that kind of education.
Well, circles, we chose circles because it becomes perpetual as well. This is not something that you will stop. We want it to be for a lifetime and a lifetime change, because everyone needs to be doing it, and we're not going to stop racism today or tomorrow. We always want to be and have a better environment and our community. So how do we continually build that, and it becomes a perpetual cycle that never changes? And we're always building and holding hands, and we chose humans holding hands, or like a version of that. But we're in it together, so it's all of us at the same time at the table. So that's also a circle, because we have to do it together. Not one of us can do it. All of us can do it.
I wonder if you've heard anything, Dr. Robinson, from students, maybe necessarily who haven't participated in the program, but have maybe seen the benefits of it. Have you heard any feedback about how it's affected their campus experience?
We've only had a small number for the pilot program, and so I have heard how their experience has been enriched, and their experience, they want to tell someone else about it as well. We plan to recruit more for this coming up fall, but we only had two students to participate in a pilot during the spring semester. The other student has gone home for the summer, so we didn't get a whole lot of feedback. But that student, Justin, and we have two other students who did not participate, who are going to be our student ambassadors for the fall. So this summer, I also recruited, as again, Justin indicated that he's been working with me, and two other students who were not on the team, heard about it, wanted to work with the program, and we worked this summer to reach out to people in the parks. We went to Juneteenth, and we passed out flyers at that particular time as well. They've been out on Water Street at some of the businesses and passing out information. They've also been involved with interviewing people for Humans of the Chippewa Valley. So we've got nothing but great feedback. They've taken the project on and is excited about getting their peers involved.
Dr. Robinson, I also wonder your thoughts, because state law tends to encourage students to go to college close to their home. Do you think that encourages campuses to be less diverse?
Yes. Our recruiting practices at UWEC, we do absolutely recruit more from 90-something percent from within Wisconsin. And so with that encouragement, that does happen. And the population, because of that, the population remains as it is. But if we look at our public school systems, that population is changing. Therefore, the university population should change as well. And overall, the United States population is changing and becoming more diverse. So I think when you take those things in consideration, then you need to be able to start thinking ahead for the change that needs to come in our own community. But that is very, very true.
I also am curious if you can tell us just briefly about your role at UW Eau Claire, because I kind of see how they overlap a little bit, working with Circles of Change and then in the Student Success Center.
Yes. I am the director of the Student Success Center. I also oversee the entire I'm the director of the Academic Skills Center. I oversee the entire Student Success Center. Within that center is a math lab, Center for Writing Excellence, Services for Students with Disabilities. And Academic Skills, we provide tutoring services, which are free. We also have supplemental instruction. We also teach first-generation courses. And my role is to be able to ensure that students are successful, and that's all of our students. And so Circles of Change is not necessarily separate from what I actually do. It is actually a part of what I do, because if students are successful in having conversations, they may sometimes, once they graduate from the institution, they need to be able to be successful and be at the table. And sometimes they may be the only person in the room that looks like them. How do you have that conversation and continue to be successful? If I've always lived in this environment and I am white, I might end up somewhere where I'm not the only, I am the only white person. How do I continue to be successful? Or if I've come up in the Wisconsin system, particularly some of our rural areas that never had that interaction, I might end up on a job where it's more diverse. I have to be successful and know how to communicate and to interact and to work with a diverse population. So it's for all students, and so it's a part of our student success. It's preparing them for life after the institution.
Excellent, excellent. Well, you're listening to The West Side here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Abby Ivriganya, filling in for Rich Kramer as a guest host on this episode. My guests are Dr. Audrey Robinson, Project Manager for Circles of Change, who also just described her role at UW-Eau Claire, Becky Linderholm, who participated in the program in the spring, and she's an elementary school teacher here in Eau Claire, and Justin Wheatley, who's a UW-Eau Claire student who also took part of the program in the spring. What questions do you have for our guests? What's your experience with initiatives like this? Give us a call at 1-800-228-5615. You can also leave a comment on the West Side Facebook page and we'll get it to our guests. That's 1-800-228-5615. We'll be right back.
Wisconsin Public Radio presents an Earthbound Expeditions trip to Costa Rica, January 20th through 30th. WPR host Veronica Rickard will be along to explore the flora and fauna of one of the most biodiverse areas in this hemisphere. Travelers can opt for nature walks and thermal pools, but for the more thrill-seeking soul, there's zip lining and canyoning. Details about the WPR adventure to Costa Rica in January are available at wpr.org/travel.
Support for WPR comes from Glass Nickel Pizza. 19 years of employee and customer-inspired pizzas made from scratch at 8 Wisconsin locations. Dedicated to sustainability practices and community support. GlassNickelPizza.com. Keep up with WPR on Facebook. Watch your news feed for program and schedule updates, photos, and links. Post comments to our hosts and share WPR stories with your friends. Get social at Facebook.com/WisconsinPublicRadio.
You're listening to The West Side on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Abby Ivriganya, serving as a guest host on this episode, but Rich Kramer, your regular host, is back next week. We're talking about a group in Eau Claire that's working to build and embrace a more racially and ethnically diverse and inclusive environment. The program is called Circles of Change. It's a partnership with UW-Eau Claire, Eau Claire Area School District, and Chippewa Valley Technical College. My guests are Dr. Audrey Robinson, Project Manager for Circles of Change, and she also works for the university. Becky Linderholm, who participated in the program in the spring, who's an elementary school teacher here in Eau Claire. And Justin Wheatley, a UW-Eau Claire student who also took part of the program in the spring. What questions do you have for our guests? Give us a call at 1-800-228-5615. I wonder how important it is in these upcoming groups in the fall. It sounds like you all are having a big expansion. Can you tell me a little bit about how many groups will be around in the fall and how you're recruiting for them, Dr. Robinson?
Yes. We anticipate to have 10 groups in the fall. They will meet at various times throughout the week, as well as we have a couple of groups who would like to do a Saturday as well. We are looking to recruit. We have approximately almost 60 individuals who have already signed up online. We are looking for a larger number of students of color as well as people of color within our environment. We want to have a very diverse group of people from the community, the university, your next-door neighbor, and all walks of life to be involved. And at this particular time, we've been recruiting throughout the summer. We'll be doing a lot of advertising in the fall. In the next couple of weeks, we'll be advertising a lot to our students. But we'd like all of our students to get involved and anyone that you know of to get involved. Please go to our website and sign up as well. I will be working to organize those groups shortly. So you can learn more and go to uwec.ly /circlesofchange with no space. Go to our website and sign up for a particular circle group. We'll be getting in touch with you, and we'd like to have everyone involved in that initiative. But we're planning on 10 groups for 6 weeks.
I wonder as well, if Becky, if you could tell me about, surely there were other identities that were kind of touched on throughout the meeting. So was it more, it may be race focused, but were there more identities touched on throughout the process?
Yeah, during our sessions, the focus was certainly race. But as we talked about each thing, we kind of also, even from I think session one, sort of talked about intersectionality and how things kind of play in. So one thing we did was an activity where we stood in a line, and based on what people read, we stepped forward or stepped back based on some statements that were either true or not true, or I guess true or not true about us. And those were all race focused. And so at the end of it, it was me and another white woman in the front. And we talked about, oh, wow, that's not usually the way this kind of thing goes. And, when I was working at the university, or when I was a student at the university, I was a peer diversity educator, and we did one that was more kind of general diversity. And so I was never right up front. I mean, not the very front row in that one, because it was more intersectional. So we kind of talked about how that comes into play as well as a group. But the focus was kind of more race focused.
Can you give me a definition of intersectionality for anyone who might not know?
Oh yeah. Hopefully this is a loaded topic. I've prepared my definition. No. So we talked about how, for example, when we look at race, because I'm white, I ended up like in the front. One of the only ones I didn't step forward or whatever is that, my parents didn't graduate from a university, but they did receive higher education and they had good jobs. And I had a bookshelf stocked full of books as a kid, those kinds of things. Each one I stepped forward for. But if you were to include things that connect to gender, that things might be different for me also. I wouldn't be right up front because women make less money than men in general in the world and things like that. And so when you look at intersectionality of all your different identities that you kind of identify as, or as people see you as and treat you as, they're kind of like a grid. They interact with each other and make it different, your experience different from other people's, I guess.
Definitely. Yeah, that can be a tricky term if you don't know what it really means. I think we should also take a second, maybe Justin, you can take this one, about defining privilege and oppression. I don't want to put you on the spot too much so anyone else can take it, but...
Okay, so let's think about privilege and oppression. When I think of my privilege, I am a white male, and I think to myself, in my area, in my life, I will very rarely be denied a job because of I'm white. Nobody's going to look at me and be like, well, I'm not going to hire this white boy. Like, I can't do that. I can't hire a white man. Nobody's going to say that. So that's my white privilege. I also have male privilege, where in a professional workplace, statistically speaking, I'm going to make more than my female counterparts. That would also make sense if, I mean, not make sense, wrong term. That would also apply to if I had people of color working with me, doing the same job, same work. Statistically, they're also going to make less than I will, simply because I'm a white man. So that is my white male privilege. If you are in the category of, if you are a person of color, you are oppressed in that sense because you are not making equal to what I would be making because of my privilege. So you are under the oppression category there. So that kind of scratches the surface on privilege and oppression.
Thanks for that, Justin. I want to take a second too to kind of ask you all about a phrase that I saw associated with Circles of Change, where someone said, "Most of us don't know what we don't know," which I think can summarize these kind of programs up very well. Where Dr. Robinson, earlier you were talking about kind of the systemic issues that can affect people, all kinds of people with different identities, but certainly for maybe a white person, you might not know about about these kinds of things that have happened to people of color. So what are your thoughts on that, Dr. Robinson?
Yes, I think that's very valid, and it's a good statement, and it's very, very true. I'll give an example. When I first arrived here 4 years ago, it was cold, and of course I'm not used to the cold, but I had a hood on my coat. And so one of my coworkers said, well, put your hood on. And I said, I'm not putting my hood on. She said, why? I said, do you know what I look like if I'm a black person? I got this black hood on. I don't know how that might affect me. That might affect you differently than it would me. And she said, well, I never thought of that. So there is an awareness, and that's one of the things that we try to bring out in Circles of Change, is that we become aware of what we are aware of and what we're not. If you've never been followed in a store, you don't know to even think about being aware of it because you never had that issue. One of my students also, last year, she wrote a paper on implicit bias, and it was educational. It had nothing to do with race. And part of her paper was she didn't understand or never even looked at an Altima, a Nissan Altima, until she bought one. Once she bought one, she realized that she could recognize all kinds of Nissan Altimas. Never paid attention before. So that is very true. And we all have those implicit biases. And then if you are a person of privilege, you never worried about going to the bank. You never worried about walking down the street with a hood on. You never worried about, if I get stopped by a police officer, will I get shot? You never worried about, will I be able to find housing? You never had to worry about whether or not I'm going to be able to live in this neighborhood. People of color think about that every single day of their lives because they're affected by that. So if you've never had to think about that, this is an opportunity to give you the awareness that other people do, and how can you think about those types of things when you're with someone of color as well.
Yes, I think it's also worth pointing out that along with UW Eau Claire's strategic goal of having 20% students of color in the next 10 years, according to a website called citydata.com, it looks like the number of people of color here in Eau Claire has slowly grown over the last few years, slowly but surely. So I wonder, do you think that the program Circles of Change is kind of helping other folks who've maybe been here for a long time kind of see those changes and recognize, you know, the Nissan Altima of Eau Claire, I guess?
Yes, and it is vitally important because there is a population we don't want to leave out, and that's the Hmong population, which has been here for a long time. Having done some research and some history research over the summer, recognizing when 1973 or so, when the Hmong population started filtrating the Eau Claire and the greater Chippewa Valley, because of their customs, because of their rituals and different things of that nature, their traditions, people were startled here. And it didn't always become, it wasn't always a positive migration for the Hmong population. And it still is not as good as I think it should be. When we look at being here 40 years within an environment, and some of our businesses have not hired Hmong individuals. Our university is still, our largest population of people of color are Hmong. However, we don't have a large number that are in our professors and faculty and staff and things of that nature. So it is an opportunity for us to get ahead of that ball and to be able to start to open those doors so that the population that we are expecting, we can get ahead of what maybe some of those differences are. And I think that's vitally important. If we don't create the community we want to see, who's going to create it for us?
You're listening to The West Side here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Abby Ivory-Gagna, serving as a guest host on this episode. My guests are Dr. Audrey Robinson, Project Manager for Circles of Change, who also works for UW Eau Claire, Becky Linderholm, who participated in the program in the spring, and she's an elementary school teacher here in Eau Claire, and Justin Wheatley, who also took part in the program, and he's a UW Eau Claire student. What questions do you have for our guests? You know, give us a call if there's something Dr. Robinson, who has a lot of knowledge, could answer for you. 1-800-228-5615. You can also leave a comment on our Facebook page, the West Side Facebook page, and we'll get it to our guests. Becky, I wonder too, Justin touched on this a little bit earlier, but I want to hear your voice as well. How has Circles of Change changed the way that you, maybe this sounds a little hokey, but move throughout the world, you know, in small ways and maybe in big ways?
I think, well, because this is kind of like a passion of mine anyway, like I was already kind of thinking about these things. But one thing that it did is, first of all, it gave me more perspectives, because the people that I was with in my group, I mean, Justin was in my group. So we had students, we had community leaders, we had business owners. And so I could kind of hear their perspectives and their personal cultures, but also how they see the issues that were kind of presented to us in the different sessions. And so that was really helpful to me, because it gave me kind of a jumping off point for when I'm talking to people about issues of race and issues of equity. It gave me some ideas for how to phrase things in a way, like, because I understand maybe where they're coming from better. So,
Justin, what do you have to say on this too?
I would really like to express how much we do need students, going out of that vein of our very first session is making connections. And that was the biggest thing for me as a student. When I walked into that room with the other student on my side and we looked and we're like, look at all these adults in here. Like, our voice is going to be heard. And if I have any students listening to me right now, yes, absolutely. Your opinions are so valid. And I really think about, what does it mean to be a student taking part in these sessions? And if you think of the role as a student, your job as a student is to learn and grow and get new experiences. It's like your mind is a garden that you're planting all these seeds in. And when you leave Eau Claire and you leave UW Eau Claire and you go into the world and you are planting those seeds that you gained here, that is your job as a student. And I think that Circles of Change is an excellent way to start growing your garden.
Thanks for that, Justin. I wonder what you all have to think about, you know, these kind of programs. You know, it's not easy to say, it's hard to find the results, right? It's not like you take a test before, you take a test after, you can see a 5% improvement, let's say. So how for you all, maybe starting with Dr. Robinson, do you know that the program is a success, or is it?
Going forward, we are actually going to be doing a pre and a post that measures diversity in our attitudes. It is an instrument that I was able to gain, and that's already been proven, a proven instrument. So we will do a pre and a post. We also do a questionnaire at the end of the sessions to find out if to assess whether it was a safe space, how the facilitators worked. Did they learn anything? Did it change them? Are they empowered to move forward, to do something? And then measuring our action teams going forward, and do they actually take action? The action itself, I think, is also a measure of the success. And it is hard to judge that change, but action plans is one. And then we do have a tool that will measure diversity attitudes.
I guess I was wrong about the test then, but that's good to hear that there are kind of some markers for progress. So
you were right in that we didn't have that before the pilot.
So what other kind of changes are taking place from the spring sessions to the fall sessions? Anything else like that?
I'm sorry. Repeat that question. I'm sorry.
What kind of changes are being made from the spring program to the fall program?
That's being changed, and we want to try to come to moving towards our action a little quicker. We are also looking to have some coaches to work with us during the action planning stage. We also now have a budget for the fall semester only, so we are taking donations. You can go to the site and we will receive donations as well, because for our action teams to move forward, for us to buy books and different things of that nature, we will need seed money and things of that nature. People are meeting for 2 hours a week. And we need to feed people sometimes, things of that nature. You know, you meet in early morning on a Saturday morning, people want a cup of coffee and things of that nature. So, and I've done some adaptation to the workbook as well, given the feedback that I received from the pilot group as well. So those are some of the changes that we're making at this time.
Kind of wrapping up here, where can, we touched on this, but where can folks learn more about the program, and when do the new groups start up?
The new groups will start beginning October the 2nd through November the 11th, meeting one time a week for 2 hours. You can go to the website at uwec.ly/circlesofchange, and you can register, you can donate, or you can give me a call. You can call me at 715-836-2200 or send me an email at robinsoa@uwec.edu.
All right. Well, thank you so much to my guests, Dr. Audrey Robinson, who's the project manager for Circles of Change and works for UW Eau Claire, Becky Linderholm, who participated in the pilot program this spring. She's also an elementary school teacher here in Eau Claire, and Justin Wheatley, a UW Eau Claire student who took part in the program this spring as well. Rich Kramer served as technical director this week. Dean Kallenbach is Westside's executive producer. Mort Cypress is our on-air producer. Ben Smethurst put together publicity for the show. Thanks to all of those folks. I'm Abby Avery Gagne, your guest host this week on the West Side. Be sure to listen next week, same time, same place. Rich Kramer will be back in the hosting chair. Thanks for listening.